May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Amen. Our text is the gospel, the great miracle when Jesus feeds the 5,000. Let us pray. Lord, you teach us that man does not live on bread alone, but only on every word that comes from your mouth. So, Lord, feed us your life-giving, strong, powerful, forgiving word this day, that we go home like the 5,000, satisfied, having been with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody here love math? I know, kids, we got a month before school. Anybody here like math? Richard, you're a math person. Not a whole lot of math people. You may not like the sermon then, but stay anyway. The sermon today is going to be a little bit about math. I'm going to talk about two basic parts of math: subtraction and addition. Everyone know what subtraction is, all right? You know what addition is. There are many lessons we can learn from this gospel lesson, many lessons, and one of them is that we, the church, we're Christians, we're baptized, we're believers, we're forgiven, and yet because we're still sinners, we are tempted to subtract from the kingdom of God, to subtract people. Whereas our Lord, the Good Shepherd, He adds and adds and adds and multiplies people to His kingdom. Let me talk about subtraction, addition. It happened back in the gospel lesson, Mark 6. It happens in the church today. First of all, subtraction. As mentioned, we, because we are sinners, we mean well. We want people to join the kingdom, but because we're sinners, we tend to subtract people from the kingdom. We send them away. We push them away. We ignore people. And in that way, we send them away. We forget about people. We're too busy ourselves. And so, in that sense, we subtract people that could come to the kingdom of God. And isn't that a sad thing that could have happened here in Mark chapter 6? In the gospel, you have a huge crowd. I mean, we don't know of a bigger crowd that's around Jesus in his entire three-year ministry. There are probably huge crowds elsewhere, but big crowd, 5,000 men. Then you have to add in the children and the women. You got 15, 20, 30,000 people probably. Huge crowd. And we would say that these people are ripe for the harvest. I mean, they are prime prospects for the kingdom of God. They want to see Jesus. Jesus and his disciples are out in this boat and they follow along on the land. That's how badly they want to see Jesus. And they go to him to this remote area somewhere around the Sea of Galilee. And they listen to him teach. And for many hours, apparently, they listen to Jesus teach. They are hungry for the Word of God. They want Jesus. They want to see miracles. I mean, they are ripe for the harvest. 20,000 people, if not more. Wow, incredible. Right there to be added to God's kingdom through faith. And look at the disciples. What do they do? This huge crowd that wants to listen to Jesus, be with Jesus. What do? Send them away into the surrounding countryside, Lord, and may they buy themselves something to eat. It's as if they interrupt the teaching of Jesus. He's teaching, it's getting late, but who cares? This is Jesus. How many of you would skip a meal for Jesus? You skip a meal for Jesus and listen to his word? Hope you would. These people don't care about physical food. They're listening to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, His Word. They don't care about food. They can skip a meal. Yet the disciples, right in the middle of it all, Lord, it's getting late. We better send them away. Let them go buy something to eat. They, because of their own selfishness, their own busyness, their own tiredness, they want to subtract 5,000 plus from the kingdom. Well, maybe we'll get them tomorrow, but it's time to go. The disciples had good excuse. They are very tired. We read at the beginning of the gospel lesson, Jesus says, let's go away. You've been busy. We need to go away. They didn't have time to eat themselves. Maybe they themselves are hungry. They've been very busy with people. So they're tired. There's lots of needs, lots of burdens. They probably think to themselves, this is 20,000 people. How are we 12 and Jesus is going to take care of 20,000 people? We can't shepherd all these people and care for all of them. Just let them go away. Subtraction. Dear friends, we got to realize that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people right here in Knoxville that live right around us, go to our schools, go to our workplaces, that are prime prospects for the kingdom of God. There are are many that don't care about God, that stray from God and don't want to hear the message. There are those that are a tough nut to crack, we would say. But then there are many people right around us that are prime prospects. They are right there next to the kingdom's door. That they want to know of Jesus. They want to know about forgiveness. They want to know about the Word of God. They want a Christian family to care for them and love them. They want all that if someone would just reach out. But they want that. They're drawn to that. If someone would tell me and invite me, maybe I would go. They're all around us. Hundreds, thousands, they're right around us. And yet, aren't we sometimes like the disciples? We're tired. How can we meet the needs of all these people? How can we bear the burdens of all these people? We're busy. Got enough going on in my life, let alone all the hundreds and thousands. We can't do everything, can we, as a church, as a person? What can I really do? So we subtract from the kingdom. We gently push away. And besides being tired and busy sometimes, it's our judgmentalism. It's our prejudice that gets in the way too. We're very prejudiced people in a lot of ways. Very judgmental. All of us are, myself included, all of us. People don't look right. We may not want them here at First Lutheran. They don't act right. Let them go somewhere else. They don't dress right. Maybe they can go to that church down the road. They're not German. Do we really want non-Germans here? They don't know about Luther and the Reformation. Let them go somebody else. What are they doing here? And our judgmentalism towards people that are a bit different, that don't know liturgy and God, gets in the way, and we silently kind of push them out the door. Don't come back. What are you doing here? And this is sin. We need to repent. I read a good story on being judgmental. I thank Ron Moss. Ron's here today. He has a great newsletter with stories in it. A young couple moves into a new neighborhood. The next morning, while they're eating breakfast, the wife looks out the window and sees her neighbor hanging the wash on a line in the backyard. "That laundry isn't very clean," she says to her husband. "Our neighbor doesn't know how to wash correctly. Perhaps she needs better laundry soap." Her husband looked on but remained silent. Every time her neighbor hung her wash to dry, the young woman would make the same comments, "That laundry's dirty." After about a month, the young woman looked out the window and was surprised to see a nice, clean wash on her neighbor's line. She said to her husband, "Look, she's learned how to wash correctly. I wonder who taught her." The husband replied, "Honey, I got up early this morning and cleaned our windows." It reminds me of Jesus' words, "Take the log out of your own eye before you take the speck out of somebody else's eye." Don't pay attention to their dirty laundry. Look at your own sin, your own dirty windows. We're all sinners. And sometimes in our judgmentalism, "Oh, if they got some big sin, they're an adulterer, they're a murderer, they're a drug addict. We don't want them here." Sometimes we're like the disciples. We subtract. We push away. May we repent. But then, praise be to our Lord, He's not like that. The disciples would send them all away, and who knows what would happen to them. But Jesus is into addition. He adds and adds and adds and multiplies because He has a heart of compassion. You see, we see a big crowd, we complain, "Oh, the crowd, get out of here, crowd." He has compassion. We see a crowd, we forget about them. Jesus forgives them and feeds them. We see a big crowd with burdens, we just want to subtract them, get away, divide, separate ourselves. We're better than them. Jesus wants to add them to His kingdom. Because of His great compassionate heart, He had compassion on them. They were like sheep without a shepherd. It all starts with the compassion of our God, which lies right in His heart. And I pray that He would give us such a compassionate heart for people. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Here's your first math question of the day. All of our math wizards, an easy question. 5 plus 2 equals? 5 plus 2 equals? 7. You're right. All right. You guys are awake. 5 plus 2 is 7. Here's your next math question. 5 plus 2 plus 1 equals? 5 plus 2 plus 1 equals? 5,000 plus. 5 loaves plus 2 fish plus Jesus, the one, the Son of God, equals 5,000 plus well-fed people who are satisfied, who know Him as their Messiah, we pray. 5 plus 2 plus Jesus, the one, that equals 5,000 plus. How He adds and adds and multiplies. He's the Son of God. He makes it happen. This gospel is a very, very important gospel. We have four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And in the four gospels, you only have two miracles that are recorded by all four gospel writers. Did you know that? You only have two miracles that all four of them record. One of them is Easter. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. That's the greatest miracle. And the other miracle recorded by all four is this miracle. Jesus feeding the 5,000. The Holy Spirit is saying something to us, this is a very, very, very important miracle. Now there are many reasons for that. One of them is this. This miracle shows us a great picture of what our crucified, risen Lord continues to do in the church for the last 2,000 years. He continues to feed people. He's the good shepherd. He continues to feed people. Wants to add people, all people. He continues to do that in the church with very little. With very little He feeds and satisfies. It's a continuing miracle. Thus, it's recorded four times for us. This is a picture of the church. It happens today. He feeds us with very little. Two examples. Absolution. The meat of the absolution, the pastor said today, I forgive you all your sins. Six words. In the stead, by the command of Christ, I forgive you all your words. Six little words. Six plus one equals what? Six plus Jesus, the one, equals how many get forgiveness today? Wow, 200 so people here today. Six little words plus Jesus, the crucified, risen one, His authority, His power, which is all here today. Six plus one equals 200 people forgiven. All who hear and believe, forgiven. Sins washed away, cleansed and righteous with six little words spoken by a minister. Because it's the power of the risen, crucified Jesus. How He adds. It happens here today. Don't ever take that absolution for granted. Ho-hum. Make sure you're here for the absolution, by the way. And to confess your sins. It's a good idea to be here. And then believe the Word of God, your sins are forgiven. And don't take it for granted. It cost Him the cross to make that happen. And then communion. This is a great gospel lesson that illustrates communion for us above all. Right here is a picture of communion. Bread plus wine equals what? This is a poor math class, Pastor. We need you back badly. Bread plus wine equals bread plus wine. All right? Bread plus wine plus Jesus equals what? 150 people get fed today, approximately, as they come to communion. Who's coming to communion today? You're confirmed, come. Come and receive a blessing if you're not. But it happens right here. A little bread, a little wine, just a little bit of food here. And yet because Christ is here, the crucified, risen one is among us. He gives all, communicates His very body, His very blood. You're going to hear that. The body of Christ, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, the blood of Christ. All of us receive. And with that comes forgiveness of sins, eternal life, the resurrection of our bodies, paradise, the Holy Spirit, power, strength, peace, all that. He multiplies to all of us just here in this church, let alone the church across the world, in Russia and across the whole world. A continuing miracle. But that's not the greatest miracle. It is a miracle that He feeds the 5,000 with five loaves, two fish. He multiplies the loaves and the fish. That's not the greatest miracle. The greatest miracle is that He adds 5,000 plus people to His kingdom. That's the whole point of it. Whether all these people were saved or not, I don't know. That's what He desires to do here in this miracle. He does this miracle not to show off. Look at me. I can multiply loaves and fish. Of course He can. He's God. He doesn't do it just to feed their bellies. Come on, they can skip a meal. So can I. I can skip a few of them, can't I, Pat? We can skip a few meals for the belly. He does this miracle that people would believe in Him. Believe He's the Messiah, the Christ, and would be added to the kingdom of God. That's His real addition. To add sinners, all of us, to His kingdom because of His great compassion shown at Calvary's cross. And praise be to God this day that you and I have been added. Who's been added to the kingdom of God? You're part of the kingdom of God? Yes. Who are we in the story? Whenever you read a text, you should ask, who am I? Who am I supposed to see myself as? We're the 5,000. We're the 5,000. Helpless? We are without a shepherd. We're hungry? I pray you're hungry for the forgiveness of your sins. You're hungry for Jesus. And you go home happy. They went home happy because Jesus fed them. May we go home happy today because we've been fed with His holy word, His holy sacrament. We've been added to the kingdom. One last math question. Jesus plus, notice how the cross is a plus sign, addition sign, right? Jesus plus First Lutheran equals what? Jesus plus First Lutheran equals what? Hell? Misery? Pain? Jesus plus First Lutheran equals forgiveness, eternal salvation, paradise, heaven. We're the big zero in the equation. We're nothing. You have Christ, you have everything. In baptism, He's added us to Himself. And so we have everything. Let us, after we read this gospel lesson, we repent of how we subtract. But we praise our Lord and rejoice for how He adds and adds and adds. Us 200 thousands more. We pray He adds 5,000 more, 5 million more, 5 billion more, that the whole world be saved. Amen.